All right, Shabbos, say good morning. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Actually, brand new parak today. Today's daf is Samech Ches 68, and we are picking up on 67b, right by the Mishnah. Brand new parak. We thank our sponsors this morning, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, our Talmud Torah sponsors, Fe'ir, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos memory of their grandparents, Moshe ben Shimon Lev Halevi, Sarah Leah Bas Dov Ber, Menachem Mendel ben Dov Ber, Sarah Yitta Bas Yaakov, Sender Noach ben Avram, Fega Bas Meir, David Shimon ben Yisrael, and Sarah Bas Yaakov. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Sammy and Malka Esterson, and the Zuchosa V'Refuah Shalema for Kol Chole Yisrael, and for the safety and well-being of our heroes, our brave hospital nurses and doctors who fight the virus every day on the front lines, Hashem Yishmar Aleihem. And to thank Meir and Chava Weinheber for dedicating the shir this morning, Le'ili Nishmas Chava's grandmother, Rivka Bas Mordechai Halevi, Zichron Levracha, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and indeed, all of our frontline healthcare workers should have Shemira Yisira, additional divine providence and protection. The Meir Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower his bracha of refuah upon all of us, upon Am Yisrael, and upon all mankind. We'll say with that, let us begin. So a fascinating brand new parak today. Actually, let me just pull up a Rambam, just so we have it close. Okay. All right, so we'll get it afterwards. All right, so we'll say, let's begin. A lot to do. So Klal Gadol. So we'll say, Klal Gadol Omer B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says that there was a Klal Gadol, a very important principle. Now we're going to see exactly why the Mishnah calls it a Klal Gadol, okay? But there's an important principle, or a very big principle, espoused by Shabbos. What is it? Listen to this. Kol HaShocheh Iker Shabbos. We'll say, let's say somebody totally forgot about Shabbos. Now, the definitions over here are going to be very important. Look at Rashi. Kol HaShocheh Iker Shabbos Kasavar in Shabbos B'Torah. So we'll say, case number one is that a person mamish forgets about the concept of Torah, of Shabbos. So they totally just forget that there's a concept of Shabbos. Now we'll see when somebody forgets that it's Shabbos. So that we'll discuss. But again, we're talking even more. Somebody mamish forgets about the concept of Shabbos. So what's the halacha? Va'asam halachos habi b'Shabbos os harbe. And as a result, because a person mamish forgot about Shabbos, totally forgot about Shabbos, he violated many Shabbos, many malachos on many Shabbos. So we'll say, so just for example, Reuven just forgets that there's a concept of Shabbos in the Torah. He forgets about it for a month. Whatever it is, if you guys about it for a month, you know, we're all a little, you know, we'll say, I want to be clear. This is not that he forgot that today was Shabbos, right? This is that he forgot about the concept of Shabbos. He forgot about Shabbos for a month, doesn't know about it for a month, and as a result, violates four Shabbosos, you know, and many malachos on each of those Shabbosos. So what's the halacha? Eino chayiv elechata sachos. Such a person is only chayiv one chatos. In other words, we look at that liability as one large liability. So we don't look at it as every Shabbos. We don't look at it as every malacha. Rather, since this liability stemmed from one general lack of knowledge, i.e., Reuven forgot about the concept of Shabbos, we view it as one liability. Next case. Hayodeh Iker Shabbos. We'll say case number two is Reuven knows about Shabbos. In other words, I know there's a concept of Shabbos, but however, but what happened? But what happens? Rosh, look at Rashi. Hayodea Iker Shabbos, Shiyish B'Shabbos B'Torah, V'Nesu B'Malach. So I'll say case number two, Reuven knows that there's a Shabbos. He also knows that on Shabbos there are 39 malachas. But what happened? V'Asa Malachos Harbe B'Shabbos Os Harbe. So case number two is Reuven knows that it's Shabbos, but he forgot about it. He forgot about it. And what happened? We'll say in this case over here, where let's say Reuven knows about the concept of Shabbos, but then what happens? He keeps on forgetting about Shabbos. Keeps on forgetting about Shabbos, and as a result, ends up violating multiple malachas. So what's the halacha? He's chayiv for every Shabbos. He's chayiv for every Shabbos. Now what we're going to see what that means is, he's chayev one karban for every Shabbos. Remember, again, even in this case, there's individual liability for each Shabbos, but only one chatas per Shabbos. We don't hold him liable for every malacha, rather we hold him liable for every Shabbos. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Second wide line in Rashi. Chayev al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, chatas achas l'chol Shabbos. Rashi points out over here that it's possible that even in this case, again, we're going to go through all these cases in the Gemara, but even in this case, it could be that Reuven was unaware about Shabbos in the weekdays between the various Shabbosos. Nevertheless, the existence of the weekdays, by definition, create a lap. Tzibo said, what we're going to see as a principle is as follows. That pretty much the halacha is, any time that you have a situation where you violate multiple things in one lapse of awareness, you can only be chayiv once. But what we're going to begin to see is lapse of awareness is a relative thing. So for example, in case number one, our guy Reuven didn't even know about the concept of Shabbos. So, we'll discuss how that is. But if you don't even know about the concept of Shabbos and you end up violating many Shabbosos, when you finally find out about Shabbos, we look at that as one lapse and therefore one chatos. In case number two, our guy Reuven knows about Shabbos. Just for whatever the reason, he forgets about Shabbos 4 weeks in a row. And therefore, in each of those Shabbosos, ends up violating Shabbos. So for that, the Mishnah says, and again, we'll explain why in the Gemara, he ends up being chayiv one chatas per Shabbos. Because remember again, in case number two, he knows about Shabbos. Rashi explains that the presence of the weekday essentially creates like a self-contained lapse for each one. And therefore, he'll be chayiv one chatas per Shabbos. Okay, next. Hayodeh Shu Shabbos. So what's case number three, right? Reuven knows that it's Shabbos. He knows that it's Shabbos, but what? But he was unaware of the concept of malachas. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So the third case in the Mishnah is, Reuven knows that it's Shabbos. But what's the problem? He doesn't know that certain malachos are aser. So he does a whole bunch of malachos. So what's the halacha? So that's the case. Hayodeh Shu Shabbos. He knows that it's Shabbos. Va'asa malachos habi. But he did many malachos, not knowing that the malachos are aser. So what's the halacha? Chayiv al kol tap of samiches medalev. Chayiv al kol av malacha umalacha. So we'll say in this case over here, he'll be chayiv for every av malacha. So I will say, so therefore again, three cases. Case number one, Reuven doesn't know about Shabbos. No idea about the concept of Shabbos. Violates many Shabbosos. When he finally learns about Shabbos, the Mishnah says, he's chayev one kratos. Case number two, he knows about the concept of Shabbos, but just forgot that it was Shabbos for 4 weeks in a row. Chayev one kratos per Shabbos. Case number three, Reuven knows that it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know about malacha. He doesn't know about malacha, and he ends up violating multiple malachas. So what's the halacha? One chatas per av malacha. Remember, as we're going to see, we'll say the malachos, the way they are set up is there are 39 malachas, which means there are 39 primary categories of malachos. Those are avos. Each av, right, each primary category of malacha has multiple, you know, what we'll call toldos, subsets. So in this case over here, when Reuven went ahead and violated multiple malachos, he's only chayev one chatas per category of malacha. Case number four, ha'osa malachos harbe me'in malacha achas. We'll see case number four is really a derivative of case number three. Therefore, if let's say one goes ahead and performs many malachos, then we'll say now again, remember, all of this are in situations where there's a lapse of awareness. Because remember again, if you violate Shabbos intentionally, chas v'shalom, so the punishment is misa, right? The punishment is misa, is death. But l'maisa, again, if a person inadvertently violates Shabbos, halach l'maisa, they bring a chatos. So obviously, all of these cases that we're talking about, chatos, are all shogeg cases. They're all inadvertent violation. So case number four is ha'osa malachos harbe me'in malacha achas. So we'll say, let's say one does multiple malachos within one category. So we'll say what this would mean is you have an av, a primary category. Let's say you perform multiple todos, multiple subset malachos within the primary category. What's the halacha? Eino chayev elachatas achas. A person is only chayev one chatos. Good. So that's the Mishnah. The general principle that comes out of the Mishnah is, even if you perform many prohibited acts in one lapse of awareness, generally, at least karbanically speaking, you will only be chayiv one chatas, one karba. So we'll say, now let's analyze. My time, tana klal gadol. So we'll say, what the Gemara is actually very interested in, which is what we're going to spend most of Amud Aleph on, is why does the Gemara introduce this chapter with the phrase klal gadol? Right, this is a principle. Or we'll say, why is this a klal gadol? Right, an important principle that we haven't seen about anywhere else. Well, it says, so maybe you'll say, because the truth is, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, or really in the next paragraph, we're going to see that the Mishnah is going to introduce another principle. Klal means another principle, right? So because we're going to introduce another principle later, therefore the Mishnah goes ahead and chooses to introduce this principle with the phrase klal gadol, which means, even though there's going to be another principle, the principle that we're introducing here is a bit more expansive. So now what we'd be doing then, I will say, is setting up a textual paradigm, which would say any time that the Mishnah is going to introduce multiple principles, and first one is more expansive than the second, the Mishnah will always introduce the first one with the verbiage, with the wording of klal gadol, great principle. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, v'gabi shvi'is nami mishum dekabay lemisne od klal acher tana klal gadol. So also we find this elsewhere. We find this by Shemitah, as we're going to see in just a little bit. By Shemitah also, the Mishnah introduces the concept or the halachos of Shemitah with the phrase klal gadol. Now again, Abosa, if you understand that the reason the Mishnah is using the wording of klal gadol, great principle, is because we're going to introduce another principle later on, and principle A is a bit more expansive than principle B, therefore we introduce principle A with the lashon of klal gadol, great principle. Okay, then actually that makes sense, because that would explain why the Mishnah in Maseches Shviyos by Shemitah also uses the lashon of klal gadol, because it follows that same type of paradigm. V'ha'gabe meiser diktani klal acher v'lo tani klal gadol. But I'll say about 1 second. But what about the fact that by meiser, for example, again, we'll see all of these instances. By meiser, it doesn't say klal gadol; rather, it just says klal. Just says klal. So why is that? To which the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Abin." Here's the difference. So I'll say, so here's what we have. We have is when the Mishnah introduces the liability by Shabbos, it uses lashon of klal gadol. When Mishnah introduces the liability by Shemitah, it uses lashon of klal gadol. When Mishnah introduces liability by Meiser, it does not use klal gadol. So we're just trying to figure out, under what circumstances does the Mishnah use the lashon of klal gadol, and when doesn't it? So here we go. Am Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, Shabbos u'shviyos d'ispu avos v'toldos, tana gadol, meiser d'lespu avos v'toldos, lo tana klal gadol. So again, the Gemara gives. So here we have Rabbi Yosi bar Avin giving a very simple answer. Shabbos and Shemitah both have a similar construct in that they both have avos and toldos. They both have primary categories of things that are prohibited and secondary categories. So perhaps any time that an area of halacha is avos and toldos, we'll introduce that discussion with the phrase klal gadol. But at the end of the day, meiser doesn't have avos and toldos. Meiser, right, the laws of tithing doesn't have primary categories and secondary ones. Look at Rashi, ispe avos. Arboim chaser achas shitzruchu l'mishkan, v'toldos hadomos l'chol achas, had yotoldos didei Avos. How have you told us today? So we'll say, so remember again, so when it comes to Shabbos, like we said before, we have 39 primary prohibited categories of labor, and each of those primary categories has multiple subsets, multiple offshoots. Similarly, Avos de Shvius, Zriya, Kitzira, Zemira, Bitzira, the Kasvinon, or the Ksivan, Toldo Shar Avodos Shebesadis. We'll say, for example, by Shemitah, the primary categories, right, the Avos we'll call, are planting, harvesting, winnowing, pressing, but and everything else to do with the maintenance of the field and production of the crop, that's called the Tolda, an offset, a subset. Shabbosai, so therefore the Gemara is suggesting, maybe by Shabbos and by Shemitah, which both have Avos and Toldo, so the Mishnah introduces these discussions with the phrase Klal Godol, but Maaser doesn't have Toldos and Avos and Toldos, and therefore it doesn't say Klal Godol. I, the Gemara Shulah Bar Kafra, the Tani Klal Godol b'Maaser, my Avos u'my Toldos Ika. I will say, interestingly enough, Bar Kafra, in the Tosefta Rashi points out, ultimately has the same lashon of Klal Godol by Maaser. So how would he explain the use of the lashon of Klal Godol by Maaser if at the end of the day Maaser doesn't have Avos and Toldos? To which the Gemara says, El Alav Hainu Taima Godol Onsho Shal Shabbos Yoser Mishal Shviyah. So I'll say, watch this. The way Bar Kafra explains the use of the lashon of Klal Godol is Klal Godol is used any time where there is a severity of punishment in the transgression or for transgression. So, for example, Godol Onsho Shal Shabbos Yoshem Yisrael Shvius. The punishment for Shabbos violation is greater than the punishment for the violation of Shemitah. How so? Dilu Shabbos Isa Bein Betalush Bein Mechuber, because the halachos of Shabbos apply to items whether they are attached or detached from the ground. Vilu Shvius Betalush Lesa Bein Mechuber Isa. Yet by Shemitah, the halakos of Shemitah only apply to items that are attached to the ground, do not apply ultimately again to items which are detached from the ground. Therefore, again, I will say, when it comes to Shabbos, the verbiage by Shabbos is klal gadol, representing the idea that ultimately, again, I will say, we know there's a connection between Shabbos and Shemitah, because remember, again, Shemitah is also called the Shabbos. It's this week's parasha. Right? Shemitah is also called the Shabbos. So therefore, again, Hilchos Shabbos, get the lashon of klal gadol, to highlight the fact that they are more severe than Shemitah. The Godol Onsho Shal Shvius Yoser Min HaMaaser, but yet the punishment for Shemitah violation is greater than the punishment for Maaser violation. How so? De'ilu Shvius Isa Bein B'Maichol Adam Bein B'Maichol Behema. Because when it comes to Shemitah, ultimately again, Shemitah, halachos of Shemitah apply both for food, for items consumed by man, as well as by items consumed by animals. So we'll say, remember again, Shemitah governs all crops that grow, right? Ultimately, again, whether those crops are consumed by people or they're consumed by animals, halacha l'maaser, the laws of Shemitah govern them. Conversely, v'ilu maaser, b'maichal adam isa, b'maichal b'hamalasa. We'll say, interestingly enough, when it comes to maaser, however, maaser only applies, right? You only have to tithe food that is consumed by people. You need not tithe food that is consumed by animals. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is coming to suggest is as follows. The Gemara is trying to suggest that the lashon of klal gadol is used when a particular area of halacha enjoys a chumrah, enjoys a more stringent status over another like category of halacha. So for example, it'll say klal gadol by Shabbos, because Shabbos is more chumrah than Shemitah. And it'll say klal gadol by Shemitah, because Shemitah is more chumer than Maaser. And apparently, again, there's no klal gadol by Maaser. Why? Because apparently Maaser is not more chumer than anything. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. Ula bar kafra, detani klal gadol by Maaser. Gadol also, but bar kafra, his version of Tosefta, it does say klal gadol by Maaser. So what is that coming to teach me? With Bar Kafra, the Tani called Godol b'Maaser, Godol Onsho Shal Maaser Yosa Mishal Peya. Oh, Maaser is more chamer than another category. What is Maaser more chamer than? Maaser is more chamer than Peya. But remember again, Peya is the obligation to leave a corner of your field for the poor. So again, therefore, in Bar Kafra's version, Halacha l'Maaser, Maaser is more chamer than Peya. How so? De'ilu, this is very interesting, De'ilu Maaser Isa B'Te'in of Yarek, because ultimately, you can remember, Meiser applies to even items like figs and vegetables. But interestingly enough, the Gemara says, V'ilu peya, lesa b'teina v'yarek. But halachos of peya, leaving a corner of your field, do not apply to figs and do not apply to vegetables. Why not? This is very interesting. Klal amru b'peya. So they set a principle when it comes to peya. What's the principle? Kol shu ochel v'nishmar v'gidula min ha'aretz. Anything. So we'll say, in order to be subject to the halachos of peya, you have to have the following. It has to be food. It has to be ochel. Nishmar, it has to be something ultimately, again, that is guarded, right? That is guarded. Nishmar, that is kept, right? Nishmar means ultimately, again, we'll see that it's kept, right? It's guarded by people, as opposed to, let's say, being hefker. So the Gemara says, v'gidula min ha'aretz, and it grows from the ground, u'lekitaso ka'achos, and it's harvested in one swoop, u'machniso lekiyum, and people store it. If it satisfies these criteria, ultimately, again, chayiv bepeya. So we'll say, if a food item satisfies all of these criteria, then it's subject to the halachos of peya. So we'll say, now each of these criteria comes to exclude something. For example, ochel, le'me'utei svichei sotis v'kotza. So, for example, ochel comes to exclude svichim. Now, we'll say svichim are generally the aftergrowths of sotis and kotza. So, Rashi points out over here, sotis and kotza were not food items, but rather they were herbs that were used to produce dye. Salacha lemaisa, the halachos of peya really only refers to an item that is primarily planted, harvested, and used for food purposes. But, for example, plants that are used primarily for dye purposes are not subject to halachos of peya. V'nishmar, what does it mean that it's guarded? L'mi'utei hefker. This comes to exclude hefker items. Right? So anything hefker is not subject to halachos of peya. V'gidula min ha'aretz, and it grows from the ground. L'mi'utei kimen u'pitrios, that comes to exclude mushrooms and truffles, which are not considered to grow, even though they're attached to the ground, they're not considered to have grown from the ground. U'lekitaso ke'achos, and you have to harvest them at once. L'me'utei te'eno. This comes to exclude figs. So apparently, you know, we'll say figs were not harvested in one fell swoop, but apparently, again, they were harvested in different stages. U'machniso l'kiyum, and peya only applies to something that you store. The Gemara says, l'me'utei yarek. Ultimately, again, to go ahead and exclude vegetables. So therefore, again, you see over here that according to Bar Kafra, who his lashon, his version of the Mishnah by Meiser is klal gadol also. You see, why does it say klal gadol by Meiser? Because Meiser itself enjoys more chumras, so to speak, than peya, right? That there will be certain things that are exempt from peya, but will still be chayiv ultimately again in Meiser. So therefore, again, v'ilu gabi Meiser tinan klal amru b'Meiser. Koshu ochel v'nishmar v'gidula min ha'aretz chayiv b'Meiser. Yet by Meiser, what do we say? Anything that's food and guarded, i.e. not hefker, and grows from the ground is going to be chayiv in Meiser. Yet what do you see? V'ilu l'kitaso ke'achas u'machniso l'kiyum lo tenan. But yet you see by Meiser that what? You see by Meiser that halacha l'maisa, even if something is not harvested in one fell swoop, and even if something is not normally stored, it will still be subject to the laws of Meiser. So we'll say, this closes out this first section of the discussion. So therefore, we begin to see that halacha l'maisa, in terms of understanding why the Mishnah here employs the lashon of klal gadol, it appears, based on the Gemara, that whenever we see klal gadol, it's coming to teach us that we're learning about an area of halacha that is more chomer, that is more stringent than other areas of halacha. So therefore, again, the Mishnah teaching klal gadol, that the halachos of Shabbos ultimately, again, are considered to be more chomer than other areas. So Shabbos is going to be more chomer than Shemitah, but yet Shemitah also has klal gadol because Shemitah is going to be more chomer than Meiser. And according to Bar Kafra, and therefore Meiser is not more chomer than anything, therefore it doesn't get a klal gadol. But according to Bar Kafra, who does say that Meiser the Mishnah by Meiser does say klal gadol, he'll say that's because Meiser is more chomer than peya. Good, says the Rabbosi. Now we're going to get into the cases. Ravu Shmuel, Dami Taras. Well, so now we're focusing on case number one. Remember again, what was case number one? Case number one was Kol Shochech Iker Shabbos. This individual did not know about Shabbos at all. He didn't know about Shabbos. No idea about Shabbos. And as a result, he violated multiple Shabbosos. Okay? So Reuven had no idea about the concept of Shabbos, violated multiple Shabbosos. So what's the halacha? As soon as he goes to a shir and finds out about Shabbos, what's the halacha? He's going to bring one chatos. He brings one chatos for all of his transgressions. So Rav Shmuel Ben Tarbayu, Rav and Shmuel both explain what's the case in the Mishnah. So Masnisin betinok shenishpa lebin hanochrim, veger sheniskayir lebin hanochrim. So we'll say Rav and Shmuel understand that that first case must be a child who was brought up amongst Gentiles, or someone who converted amongst Gentiles, but converted with insufficient knowledge. So we'll say Rav and Shmuel understand, you know, where can you ever have a case of someone who doesn't know about Shabbos, right? In other words, I understand forgetting Shabbos, but where do you ever have a case of someone who doesn't know about Shabbos? So again, Rav Shmuel says, it's possible, someone who grows up with no exposure to Yiddishkeit. He's Jewish, but he has no idea about what Judaism means. He grows up without Shabbos, or someone who converts, but at the end of the day, now, I will say converted without knowing about Shabbos. I will say that it happens to be this happens to look at Rashi. Look at the last Tosis on the daf. Tosis Gershon Iskayer ben Anachrim b'fnei Gimel for lo hodiu mitzvah Shabbos din Iskayer benola ben Asmo lo haviger. So we'll say, listen to this. This is actually pretty wild. The Tosis says, what happened to this Ger? He converted, and he converted in front of a Beis Din. Obviously, not a very good Beis Din, because they forgot to tell him about Shabbos. Right, just a little detail, right? They forgot to tell about Shabbos. We'll say, so amazing enough, Tosa says over here, the conversion still works. Which I will say, this happens to be, in general, a fascinating discussion about, obviously, no person converts with full knowledge, right? Because there's always halachas you didn't learn, or concepts you didn't know. But lemaisa, what happens if someone converts without, like, fundamental knowledge? So it's interesting because the Gemara seems to say over here that such a conversion will actually work. It actually works. Obviously not encouraged and not good, but ex post facto the person is Jewish. So therefore, again, you could have a situation where a person converts, or a person was Jewish but grew up in a totally Gentile environment and had no idea about Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, Aval Heker Lebasov Shachach. But if you're talking about a person who knew about Shabbos and then forgot about Shabbos, Chayev Al Kol Shabbos to Shabbos. So we'll say that would really be case number two in the Mishnah. And a person who knows about the concept of Shabbos but just forgot about Shabbos, even if he forgot about Shabbos for many, many weeks, he's still going to be Chayev independently for each individual Shabbos. Tonight, so let's analyze this. Hashokhech Iker Shabbos. So let's remember again, the Mishnah says that a person forgot about the essence of Shabbos. Lav Michlal Dahavi Le'yedim Ikara. So let's remember again, when you say shocheach, to forget something, so bepashtos, what does forget mean? Forget means you knew it, and then you forgot it. To which the Gemara says, the Gemara says, lo, my kol shocheach ego Shabbos, ta'isa shachuach mimenu ikara shal Shabbos. No, means Shabbos was forgotten by him from the beginning. It doesn't mean I knew it and I forgot it, but rather Rav and Shmuel will say Shabbos was forgotten from me from the beginning. However, aval hikir lebasov shachach, mai chayev al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So we'll say, so in Rav and Shmuel's model, there are two fundamental cases. Case number one is that a person who never knew about Shabbos, never knew about it. If I never knew about Shabbos and Chas Hashanah violated multiple Shabbosos, when I finally find out about Shabbos, I'm only going to be chayev once. If I knew about Shabbos, I knew about the concept, but I forgot about it. Even if halacha lemaisa, I forgot about it for multiple weeks in a row, when I go ahead and I finally, quote-unquote, remember Shabbos, I will be chayev one chatos per Shabbos. Says the Gemara of Rav Shmuel, if that's the case, Adetani Hayodea Iker Shabbos V'asam Alachos Harbi Shabbos Harbi Chayev Alkal Shabbos V'Shabbos. If that's the case, then instead of writing the second case of a person who knows about Shabbos, but he went ahead and he did Malachos, excuse me, this is actually case number three. He went ahead and he knew about Shabbos and he did many Malachos on many Shabbosos. Chayev Alkal Shabbos V'Shabbos. He's Chayev one Chatas per Shabbos. Listen, he let him instead, let the Mishnah instead write Hikir ulubasov shachach. If a person knew about Shabbos and subsequently forgot about Shabbos, then therefore again, and even if he subsequently forget about multiple Shabbosos, he's only going to be chayev one chatas per Shabbos. V'chol shekein ha, and certainly would include this second case as well. My hayodea ikur Shabbos, but rather again, what does it mean? He knew about the essence of Shabbos. Misha Haya Yodei Karasho Shabbos V'Shachacha. This is referring to someone who knew about the essence of Shabbos, but he forgot about it. Amud Beis, Avalo Shachacha Mai. But what happens if somebody didn't forget about the essence of Shabbos? See, Rabbi, so again, we're getting now into cases 3 and 4. Cases 3 and 4 is, case number 1, according to Rabbi Shmuel at least, is no idea about Shabbos. Case number 2, I know about the concept of Shabbos, but totally forgot about Shabbos. Cases 3 and 4 is, I remember that I know that it's Shabbos, but my mistake is regarding the malachas. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So if you totally forgot about the concept of Shabbos, even if you violated multiple halachos, you're only going to be chayiv one chatos. Avalo shachachamai. What happens if you didn't forget about the essence of Shabbos? You remembered that it's Shabbos, but rather, again, you forgot, or you forgot that today is Shabbos, for example, you forgot about malachos. Chayiv al kol malacha malacha. You'll be chayiv ultimately again on each and every malacha. If that's the case, says the Gemara, then regarding the case that says a person knows that it's Shabbos and he did many malachos, amen Shabbosos, chayiv al kol malacha u malacha, he should be chayiv for every malacha. Instead of saying that, listening, hayodea ikar Shabbos, let it talk about a case of a person who knows about the ikar of Shabbos, and again, and yet you would still be chayiv for every malacha. And it would certainly include this case as well. So we'll say, remember again, we're trying to figure out over here, all of this is an exercise really to figure out what the first case is. Because remember again, on one hand, the wording of shachach, right? Chaloshochiach ikar Shabbos, shachach by definition in its pashat pshat refers to what? Knowing something and then forgetting it. The problem with that just is, how does that work with the rest of the cases of the Mishnah? So Rav and Shmuel are going to explain that rather what it means is, so Ashokheach Iker Shabbos means someone did not know about the concept of Shabbos. How could it be that someone doesn't know about the concept of Shabbos? So Rav and Shmuel give two possible examples. Either Ger Shenishba Ben Agoyim, right? Excuse me, Katan Shenishba Ben Agoyim, that you have a child who grew up amongst Gentiles with no Jewish exposure, never knew about Shabbos, or someone who converted with a derelict Beis Din who did not tell him about Shabbos. So Halach Lamaisa, the conversion works, but Lamaisa, he is knowledge deficient. So says the Gemara, rather, here's what you have to say. So the Gemara says, Ela Masnisin Kishihikir Levasov Shachach. So we'll say, instead you have to say that the opening case of the Mishnah is talking about a situation where the person knew about Shabbos and he forgot. Right, excuse me, not the opening case. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he knew about Shabbos and he forgot. And ultimately, again, and in the case of Rav and Shmuel, also is a case where he knew about Shabbos and subsequently forgot. V'hachi itmar, and this is what it means to say. Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, afilu tinok shenishba bein hanochrim, v'ger sheniskayir lebein hanochrim, kishehikir ulubasov shachach, So we'll say, the Gemara says, even Rav and Shmuel will agree that halacha lemaisa, that the way the Mishnah is to be understood, the opening case of the Mishnah is a person who knew about Shabbos and then fundamentally forgot about the concept of Shabbos. So what is the halacha of someone who knew about Shabbos and then again had Shabbos amnesia, totally forgot about the concept of Shabbos, and as a result violated many Shabbosos? What's going to be the halacha? When he finally remembers Shabbos, he's only going to be chayiv one chatas. And Rav and Shmuel says, because to whom is this person comparable to? This person is comparable ultimately again to a tinok shenishba lebein hanochrim, v'gershin is gayir lebein hanochrim. Such a right, so a child who grows up ultimately again amongst Gentiles with no Jewish influence, or someone who converted without a knowledge that there is a concept of Shabbos, such a person is just like a person who knew about Shabbos, fundamentally forgot about Shabbos, and when he quote unquote remembers Shabbos, he will only be chayiv one chatos on all of the Shabbos. So I said, just to be clear, what we're doing over here is we're interpreting the first case of the Mishnah. And now what we're saying is that halacha lemaisa, the first case of the Mishnah is dealing with a person who knew about Shabbos, totally forgot about the concept of Shabbos, did that, and that lapse of awareness spanned many weeks. He comes out of his Shabbos amnesia 6 weeks after he forgot about Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, now he remembers Shabbos. He realizes now he violated six Shabbosos. What's the halacha? Only one chatos. Only one chatos for that entire period of amnesia. Why, says Rav Shmuel? Because such an individual is no different than a Jewish child who grew up amongst Gentiles, Tinok Shenishba Bein Anachrim, or a ger who converted without a knowledge of Shabbos. Both of those people, obviously, Rabosai, had no knowledge, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, they will not be held liable for all of their transgressions. Again, they will be held liable once, one chatas, for an entire period of time of transgressions. That's how they compare the cases. That's Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon, and Laki Shomer, no. Dami Tarvayu, Dafka Hikar Lebasov Shach. Rabosai is incredible. Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon, and Laki Shomer say no. They disagree. They say the first case of the Mishnah is someone who knew Shabbos, at one point in time, knew about the concept of Shabbos, and then fundamentally forgot about Shabbos. However that happens, they just forgot about Shabbos. Aval, Tinok Shinshol Bein Anachrim, Vegershin Eskaya Lebein Anachrim, Potter. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish say, a child who grew up amongst Gentiles, right, or a ger who converted, and the Beis Din was derelict in their responsibility, never taught the ger about Shabbos, those individuals are putter for any Shabbos violation. There is no liability there at all. Why is there no liability? Rashi says, putter. Tekasavri Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Omer Mutter Anusu V'losh Gadlu. Both of this is incredible. Because they say that the Tinok, the child who was brought up amongst Gentiles, and the person who converted without knowledge of Shabbos, that's not Shogig. That's not an accident. That's Anus. Anus also means extenuating circumstances. There is no karbanic liability for ones. There's only karbanic liability for shogig. So I will say, this is really an incredible machlokas here. So essentially, what's happening over here is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, so far the good news is everyone's agreeing on the way to interpret the first case. Hashokheach ikur Shabbos means someone knew about Shabbos, fundamentally forgot about the concept of Shabbos, as a result violated multiple Shabbosos. The Mishnah says you only chayv one chatas for all of those violations. Now, interestingly enough, Rav and Shmuel will say, because that person who forgot about Shabbos, he's like a tinok shenishba. He's like a ger who never knew about Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says, no, those cases are not comparable. A tinok shenishba, a child brought up amongst Gentiles, or a ger who converts with no knowledge of Shabbos, and those people ended up violating multiple Shabbosos, there is no liability in those cases. Why is there no liability in those cases, Rav Osai? Because halacha lemaisa, that's an ones. Those are extenuating circumstances. You can't hold a person liable for knowledge they never had any access to. It's incredible. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Klal gadol omer b'Shabbos. They said an important principle by Shabbos. What's the klal gadol? Kol hashokhiach ikur Shabbos va'asa malachos harbe. Anyone who forgets. Ikar Shabbos, Shabbos means a person forgets about the concept of Shabbos, and as a result, perform many malachos b'Shabbosos harbe over the course of many Shabbosos. Eino chayev ela achos, he will only be chayev once. We'll say good. So far, remember again, that brisa is just restating our Mishnah. Right. So a person knew about Shabbos, forgot about the concept of Shabbos, as a result, went ahead and violated many Shabbosos with many malachos. When he finally realizes or relearns the concept of Shabbos, he will only be chayiv once. Ketzad. So the Braisa says, what's an example of this? Tinok shenishba b'lebein hanochrim. If a child was taken captive, literally nishba means taken captive, but it means a child was raised amongst Gentiles, or gershen iskaya b'lebein hanochrim, or someone converted and was living amongst Gentiles, va'asa malachos harbe, and as a result he did many malachos, b'Shabbosos harbe, over the course of many Shabbosos, eino chayiv ela chatas achos. He is only chayiv, this gersh, right, this gershin iskayir, or this katan, is only going to be chayiv one chatas for all of their Shabbos transgressions. Not only that, V'chayiv al hadamachos. We'll say, let's say again, this ger, they also forgot to tell him, by the way, about the consumption of blood. Obviously, again, not such a great Beis Din, right? They forgot about Shabbos. They forgot about blood. So as a result, he's been eating blood like no one's business, right? Or the katan's been eating blood like crazy. Then they realize, hey, eating blood is aser. So what happens? Also, only one chatas for all the consumptions of blood. Va'ala chilev. Ultimately, against when they were eating chilev all the time, Beis Din forgot to tell the ger about it, or the katan didn't know about it, and they ate chilev. Only one chatas for chilev. Va'ala avodah zarah achas. And the Bo said, let's say this is wild. The katan was worshipping idolatry because he was being brought up amongst Gentiles, or the ger was never told that idolatry is usser. So as a result, he worshipped idolatry. What's the halacha? When they realize that what they've been doing is wrong, they only bring one chatas, even for multiple transgressions. So we'll say, so again, so remember, in this first part of the braisa, what you begin to see is, according to this approach, right, halacha lamaisa, a ger shenis gayer, without knowledge, or a katan who was brought up amongst gayim, ultimately, again, are treated like a person who had knowledge and then lost knowledge. All of these cases, a person will only, all these individuals, all three of these people, right? Three is number one, the katan brought up amongst Gentiles, the ger who was converted without proper knowledge, and the individual who knew but subsequently fundamentally forgot. All of these individuals transgressed multiple times. The Braisa says they're all only chayev one chatas per prohibition. So one chatas for Shabbos, one chatas for Avodah Zarah, one chatas for chilev, one chatas for dam. Umunbaz poter. But Munba says, no. In the case, ultimately, again, of the ger, who was converted without proper knowledge, or of the katan, who was raised amongst Gentiles, these individuals will be totally pata. They're not chayav at all. The kachaya Munbaz dan lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And this is how Munbaz explained this before Rabbi Akiva. Hoil umezid karichote, vishoge karichote. Right? We'll say an intentional sinner is called chote, a sinner. And even an accidental, an inadvertent sinner is still called a sinner. Ma mezid shahay salo yediya, just like the mezid, he had knowledge about what he did. Af shogeg shahay salo yediya. So we'll say Munva says, even shogeg requires a yediya, right? In other words, you have, we'll say, in order to be called a shogeg, you have to have some baseline of knowledge of the matter involved. In other words, we'll say, so what Munva says is, you can't be called an inadvertent sinner if you have no idea what you're doing. If you have no idea, that's ones. So shogig means I know that at Shabbos I didn't know this was usher, right? I know that chelev is usher. I didn't know this type of chelev is usher. So therefore, again, what Munva says is the same way that ultimately. So what Munva is doing, interestingly enough, is he's saying shogig and mezid, interestingly enough, are sister concepts. Just like mezid, intentional sin requires awareness, so too shogig requires awareness. Therefore, any case where there's no awareness, like the katan who was brought up amongst gayim, or like the ger who converted without proper knowledge, those individuals aren't even shogeg. They're not even shogeg. They're ones. That's extenuating circumstances, and therefore, when they realize the error in their ways, there's absolutely no liability. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Amar Rabbi Akiva, Mosif ani most harini Mosif al tvarach." I can add on to your words, "Ima meizit shaisi yedi b'shas ma'isa." Afshogig shaisi yediyah b'shas ma'isa. Shabbi Akiva will say, well, Munvaz, if that's the case, just like Mezid, a person knew what they were doing, ultimately again when they were doing it. So to shogig, ultimately again, should have awareness when they were doing it. Amar lo, heim, v'chol shekin sho safta. So Munvaz says, great, Shabbi Akiva, excellent point. Shabbi Akiva says, only one problem. Amar lo, dvaracha, ein zakari shogig el Mezid. Rabbi Akiva said, but Munvaz, the problem is, then you've lost the category of shogeg. Everything becomes mezid. I'll say, but again, katani miha, keitzad, tino. Rabbi will say, remember again, let's go back to this braisa. Well, this will have to close. Remember, let's take a step back. When the braisa tries to illustrate what's the example of a person who knew and then forgot, it uses the illustration of tinok and ger. So, bishlam al rabin shmuel meicha. So it's according to Rav and Shmuel, that makes sense, because according to Rav and Shmuel, remember again, according to their understanding, a child who grows up with no knowledge and a ger who converts with no knowledge are the same as a person who knew and then fundamentally forgot. All those cases are the same. But according to Rav Shimon and Reish Lakish, what do you do with this? Remember again, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that a child who grows up amongst Gentiles and a person who converts with no knowledge, that's not a shogeg case. Those individuals are ones, extenuating circumstances, and therefore are totally pater, but yet they're grouped in the Braisa. Amri l'cha, they would say to you, Rav Yochanan Reish, Amri l'cha Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, mi lo ikam munvaz de pater, anam da aminan kim munvaz. So Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish says, it's not a kasha. The Mishnah espouses the position of munvaz. We hold like munvaz. So we'll snap over here for today. So we end off ultimately again with a fundamental machlokes. Here's what we agree with, right? Here's what everybody agrees with. We agree that halacha lamaisa, that when someone has knowledge, fundamentally forgets the knowledge, and in that lapse of awareness commits many transgressions, you will only be chayev once. That everyone agrees with. The fundamental machlokes is what do you do in the case of a gershinist guy or someone who converts without knowledge, right? Doesn't have knowledge of something, or a child who is brought up amongst Gentiles, where each of these individuals lack fundamental knowledge. According to Rav and Shmuel, these individuals are treated the same way as someone who knew and fundamentally forgot. Therefore, again, only one chatas or multiple liabilities. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and ultimately Munvaz, so ultimately again, the Katan who is brought up amongst Gentiles and the Ger who converts to that knowledge, these individuals are not Shogeg. Rather, these individuals are Ones, extenuating circumstances, and therefore totally Pater. Therefore, even Halacha Lamaisa, when they realize that what they've done is wrong, Halacha Lamaisa, they will not be Chayiv at all. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll continue wrestling with this fascinating sugya tomorrow. Shikayach to everyone.